Hallelujah. 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 I tell you what, let's just lift our hands a minute. Hallelujah. We thank you, Father. We praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise him out of your own heart. You are the highest, O God. Thank you, Father. I just praise you. We worship you. Oh, what a joy it is to be in your house tonight. Oh, what a joy it is to be in your presence tonight, Father. You are the highest, O God. You are the highest, O God. Seated above all the earth. You are the highest, O God. Worthy of all my praise. You are the highest, O God. Clothed in majesty and splendor. You are the highest, O God. You are the highest. You are the highest. You are the highest. You are the highest, O God. You are the highest. Worthy of all my praise. You are the highest, O God, seated above all the earth. You are the highest, O God. We worship you and you alone. You are the highest, O God, worthy of all my praise. You are the highest, O God. You are the highest. You are the highest. E de 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 ondo ya yeshi. O la 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 de ya na. O la de de ira bando. O la ma la de de ye de ye. You are the highest, O God. Worthy of all my praise. You are the highest, O God. Clothed in majesty and splendor. You are the highest, O God. You are the highest. Above every trial and test. You are the highest. You are the highest. You're the fulfillment of my joy. You are the highest. You are the highest, O God. You are my supply. You are the highest. Make me clean, white as snow. You are the highest, O God. Oh, we worship you, Father. 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 Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hosanna, Hosanna. Hosanna to the King. Hosanna. Highest, you are the highest, Prince of Peace, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You are the highest, you are exalted, you are exalted. You are exalted, you are the highest, O God. You are my fortress, my mountain. Shield, my buckler, the place where I run to. You are the highest, O God. You are my refuge in times of trouble. You are the highest, O God. passes understanding. You are the highest, oh God. Worship you, I worship you, I worship you. Holy One, the Worthy One, O Ancient One, I worship you, I worship you. Onda nere ande oro mande ande. Ora na 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 de anda oro mosandanda. You are the highest. You are the highest. You are the highest. You are exalted. The Lamb that was slain, the Worthy One, the One to whom the angels sing. Oh, you are the highest. My healer, my physician, my provider. The One who knows my heart and sees all things. You are the highest. You are the highest. Oh, you are the highest one. Greater than my problem. Greater than my fear. You're the One who takes my tears and gives me laughter. Who turns my mourning into dancing, my sadness into song. You are the highest, oh God. You are the highest, oh God. You are the highest, oh God. You're the One that says yeah when the world says no. You're the One that says amen, let it be so. You are the highest, oh God. You are the highest, oh God. Oh, you are the highest, I worship you. You're a consuming fire, the Holy One, the only One to fulfill my heart. You set me on a path that's filled with good things and good works. Fill my mouth with good things, good things. You're the bread of life, everlasting life, eternal life, the One who chases all sickness away. You are the highest, you are the highest, oh God. You are the highest, oh God. All the angels sing, you are the highest, oh God. Hallelujah. 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 Now peace descends in Jesus' name. Burden lifts, you're the burden breaker, the way maker, the God of the breakthrough. You're the One who makes all things new. Business transaction. Somebody, who is it? You're doing a business transaction. It just keeps getting murky. I hear those words, business transaction. If that's you, get up here. If you're doing a business transaction, I don't know what it is. It's got to mean something to somebody. Hallelujah. Business transaction. Nobody? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Don't know. That's you. That's you. That's you. Hold out your hands like you're going to receive a gift. Hallelujah. Clarity on what to do. Oh, that's me. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. 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 Knees. Knees. Having problems with your knees. Hallelujah. Knees. Knees. Having problems with your knees. Don't know what that is. Having problems with your knees. Knees, knees. Yeah. 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 Just hold your hands like you're going to receive again. Yep. You're the one. Yep. Healing. Healing flow into those knees. Ah. Yep. Maybe this means something to you, Miss Linda. Restoration. Restoration of flexibility. Yeah, restoration. Yeah, 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 yeah. Those ligaments become supple again. There it goes. Yeah, 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 yeah. Strengthen the knees. Strengthen the knees. Yeah. Strengthen the knees. Strengthen the knees. Oh, yep, yeah, there it goes. Had an injury to your arm. Injury to your arm. I don't know if it's right or left. I don't think it matters. Injury to your arm. Could be new, could be old. Injury to your arm. It's giving you trouble. Injury. Oh. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, the life of God. Yeah, you know how to appropriate it, but it'll go faster with it. Yep. Yeah, it'll go faster. This manifestation is not a manifestation necessarily of the service, although it's happening in the service. I'm trying to say this right. It is because we entered into His presence fully, not just to sing a song or come to church, but because we entered into the presence of the Most High. These are the things that are available to all in His presence. Okay. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I got corrected. Praise God. The Lord says to say, I said that because you entered into my presence fully, these things are accessible to all. And as you enter into my presence, not just in singing, but in heart, you will find the things that have ailed you will ail you no more. The things that have brought confusion will turn to clarity. Not because my gift is on a man, but because you have entered in to commune with me. You don't have to be in this church building, for you are my temple, living stones. So come boldly, for I desire to do more and more and more for you than you have yet seen. So come, commune with me. Dine at my table and reach that place of the untouchable. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Well, you can be seated if you can in the presence of God. As a young minister, I learned, be real careful about saying, thus saith the Lord. Because sometimes you are right and sometimes it's your head. So I am very cautious about thus saith the Lord or the Lord said. Yeah. I'm cautious about it in a service. I'm downright terrified of it. Not in a fearful way, but in a respectful way. Amen. Downright terrified of it when I'm talking with people one-on-one. But in that case, I was arrested and he said, no, you tell him. You didn't say what I told you to say. So I repent to you for not being obedient. And I repent to you, Lord, for not being obedient. And I thank you that there's forgiveness. I thank you that you forgive me. You know, because, you know, we all like forgiveness. Praise God. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. We got things to do, places to go. Hope you enjoyed a little bit of time in my closet. Amen. So now go home and get your own. Ain't a lot of room in mine. It's enough room for me and the Lord. Amen. So go enjoy your time with God. Amen. Smith Wigglesworth, he's famously quoted as saying, I never pray for more than 15 minutes. I also never go more than 15 minutes without praying. You know, and that's a place to be. That really is the place to be. It's to be in such a place of communion and fellowship with God that it just never stops. You might have to do, you know, like you do with people in the natural and say, hold on, I need to address this. Right? You go address your business and then you come back. Sorry about that. I just had to take care of something. And he's so understanding. You know, and occasionally he'll tell you, hold on, I can't tell you that yet. You need to grow a little more. Instead, let me talk to you about this other area. You know? It should be a conversation continually, and it's a joy when it is. You know, the devil likes to get us all built up into a tizzy, really, thinking that it takes 16 hours and 4 Bibles, you know? And 17 and a half years of Bible school, you know, and 2 full bands, you know, to have fellowship with him. And the devil wants to get us all up into some kind of ritual, all into some kind of frenetic activity. But that's not God's way. God is never more than a whisper away. Not his whisper, yours. Oh, Father, and he's there. And really, he's closer than that because he's in you. Amen. He's on the inside of you. Amen. Well, I don't always feel like it. Well, whoever said feeling had anything to do with it? He said he was. His word's enough. His word is enough. Well, tonight I'm just going to preach to myself and my wife, and y'all get to be here. Because there's some things that I just, you know, there's a time to learn, there's a time to teach, there's a time to meditate, but there's a time to declare. Amen. There's a time for explanation, there's a time for declaration. Amen. You know, and that's true in our own lives. We've got times with the Lord where we meditate, we stew and we brew, you know. It's not just for preachers. Stew and brew isn't just for ministers. Stew and brew is for all of us as Christians. The greatest lie that the devil ever pulled over on the people of Israel was to convince them that they needed somebody to stand between them and God.
Yep. Come on.
Yep.
That was the greatest deception of fear that he pulled. Because God's heart was to commune with each of them individually. How he could have accomplished that under the law, I have no idea. But he's God, and if he said he could do it, he could have made it happen.
Yep. Yep.
You see? And that's always been God's heart, is to commune with each of us individually. You know, that's why in the New Testament, we don't necessarily go to a prophet for guidance.
Yes, sir.
Because God's in us.
Yes, sir.
He lives in us. And we don't have to go to a man for guidance. We can go to God for guidance. Now, we go to man to make sure that we're not being D-U-M-B dumb.
Yes, sir.
Because there's people that do know God better than us and know what he's going to say and what he's not going to say.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know, I learned something. You'd think this is real obvious. But I learned something, and that is God takes you from faith to faith and glory to glory. Glory to glory, not glory to broke to glory. He don't do that. And so when that little voice, that little snaky, snarky voice comes telling you, you need to quit your job and spend more time at the church. Just think, glory, broke, glory. Just think about that. Because we got wisdom. We don't have to be stupid. S-T-O-O-P-I-D. Don't got to be that. That's why he gave us the inward witness. And that's why he gave us a pastor. If we'll heed our shepherd's voice, because our pastor is the one saying, God ain't going to say that. God ain't going to say that. God might say that, but are you ready for it? See? See? Anyway, just that's all free. That's all free. Not in here at all, but it's all good. It's all good. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This is the Apostle Paul. My goodness, I look forward to being in heaven and hearing Paul himself. It's just going to be fantastic. So I tell you this, verse 17, and insist on it in the Lord. So this isn't Paul just saying something. Now, first of all, even if it was Paul just saying something, he did put it in the Holy Writ. So that right there gives it a level of importance that it's worth reading and thinking about. See, there's a lot of good books that are worth reading. You know that? There are. There's a lot of good books that are worth reading. Now, there's some that are just absolute trash. There's some books that are classics, quote unquote, that are absolute trash.
You're right.
I know. Forgive me, my composition teacher. Anyway, there are books that are worth reading. They're good. But that doesn't mean they should occupy the greatest amount of our mental time. Do you know there's books that are by ministers even? Well, they're fine. But that doesn't mean they should occupy the greatest amount of our mental time. The Word is the thing that should occupy the greatest amount of our mental time. You know, if you think of a steam engine that you got to put in, it has a boiler, right? And that boiler works and things go into it, right? And then it makes steam, which pushes the engine, generates horsepower, right? The Word is the wood that goes into the steam engine of your mind.
Amen.
Now, you know there's different materials that'll make that steam engine work differently, right? Some are more effective than others. Really, if you want to get down to it, the Word is the nuclear material that's in the steam engine of your mind.
Amen.
That's good.
But most people don't put that in there. Most people put hay in there. I'm going to tell you, hay don't last very long. You got to put in a lot of hay. That's why people on average watch 6 hours of TV a day. A day. Let's just put that in. I saw that statistic and I was like, wait a minute. Stop. A day? 6 hours of TV a day? That's an average. That means there's people that watch more than that. How are you living?
Seriously.
I mean, really?
Come on.
What business secret do you know? Because if I can do nothing and make that much money, I'm just saying. The truth is they're not doing that. I'm just, you know what I'm saying? People just put, that's why they got to consume more and more content, is because they're just shoveling in junk.
Right.
Just like junk food in the body won't keep you going.
That's right.
Won't keep you going. It's not good fuel for your flesh, you know.
So true.
So Paul's saying, I tell you and I insist on it. Not only do I insist on it, but I insist on it in Christ. That you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility of their thinking. We must no longer live in the futility of our thinking. I know I'm in Iowa with some of the most thoughtful, pragmatic people on the face of the earth. I'm not saying that as a negative. I'm telling you, I grew up in this state. I know us. I know us. We're thoughtful. We do a lot of thinking. Then we do a lot of complaining. Because in some way or another, we're all connected to a bunch of old farmers. Just telling them the truth. Just telling them the truth. And when farmers ain't farming, there's a couple things that they do really, really good. They attend church. Now there's an answer just right there. If the farmers, with all their issues, got enough sense to be in church.
Come on.
I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying, country people know some stuff.
Come on.
Number two, they drink a lot of coffee. I grew up with them, I'm telling you. The amount of that liquid those people consume, it's staggering. But then you realize they only sleep 4 hours a night because they're working so much. And the third thing they do real good is they complain. Usually about the weather. But not always. Sometimes it's about relatives. Now, if you're looking down, it's because you know exactly what I'm talking about. It's okay. I'm looking up. I'm happy. I got redeemed from it. You can too. We are thoughtful people. But the problem is that sometimes our thoughtfulness brings in wrong conclusions.
Yes, sir.
Because we only know what we know.
Yep. Preach it. Come on.
See, that's a problem when you're a really thoughtful person. Really thoughtful people. Pragmatic people. Means you only like things that are really useful. Which is really us in Iowa, right?
Yeah.
It's cold here. We don't got time for stuff that don't work. That's why a lot of people got iPhones. It's because they just work. Sorry, that was a bad joke on all the Android people. Anyway, sorry. Moving on. We don't got time for things that don't work. You know what I'm saying? It's got to work. It's got to work right now. I want it to work all the time. Want to be reliable. That's why the brands of car that sell really well in this state are the brands they are. It's because they're known to be reliable. I'm just talking about us. Just a little us time. But see, when we're thoughtful, we only know what we know. And sometimes we can get a reputation for being know-it-alls. Because one of the problems with being a thoughtful and pragmatic person is you're very resistant to new ideas. Now that's some newfangled business. I don't need none of y'all newfangled business. You haven't been around long enough. I don't know if it's going to work.
So true. Come on.
If this isn't you, I am talking about a relative that you have.
Yes, sir.
It is true.
Yes, sir.
Because we're Midwestern people. This is us, right? This is actually, I'll tell you something. If you yield to the better parts of your nature, you are set up so well in God. You're set up for faithfulness. You're set up for honor. You know, it's kind of interesting. I've done a study. I won't talk about it tonight because it's not the point. But I did a study on men of God that have come from Iowa and other Midwestern states. And I find it very interesting. The men of God that have came from Iowa, all of them are huge. If I mentioned names, you'd be like, oh my goodness, oh. The other thing is they all started revivals. Here's the problem. None of them stayed. None of them stayed here. I'm so glad that God sent us a person that's going to stay here.
Amen.
Man of God, that's going to stay here.
Amen.
Anyway, as long as we do what we need to do, which we will. So my point was is that you're well set up to be successful in God.
Yep.
Well set up. That pragmatic, thoughtful mindset will make sure that you don't quit because you know that church works.
Amen.
So I ain't going to quit. You know, newfangled idea about all them gold dust falling from the ceiling. That's... You just keep your contraption.
Yeah.
Right?
Reach it. Come on.
You know that giving works.
Yep.
Yes, sir.
So you're going to do it no matter what.
Yes, sir. Come on.
Sometimes to a fault.
Yep.
You know, the other interesting thing about Iowans, we take care of our own.
Yes, sir. So
true. Even crazy Aunt Sally.
Yeah.
And we know we should not take care of her. She crazy. The county home needs to take care of crazy Aunt Sally. But what do? It's 1 a.m. I go over to crazy Aunt Sally's house and I turn the heater on one more time. Because we take care of our own. Do you know that means that you're going to take care of your family in the local church? That you'll love the brethren that you can't see, which means that you love God that you don't see? All these things are good. Good, very good qualities.
Yes, sir.
But you know what's not a good quality is that because we're so thoughtful, sometimes we find ourselves stewing in our own juices. That's delicious in a marinade, but terrible for faith.
Come on.
The struggles of life ensue. In other words, they come on us. When we find ourselves living in our head, and it's easy to end up in that pot, stewing in the juices of your own brain.
Come on.
You don't even know you're doing it.
Yep.
In fact, you right now, sitting in your chair, you'd be like, Rev, I ain't doing that. I'm an awesome man, woman of faith and power. Okay. When was the last time outside of church that you quoted a scripture?
Right.
Well,
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Come on.
Now, because we're Iowans, we know the answer. 2 weeks ago, Tuesday. Why? Because we're thoughtful. We thought about it. Just saying.
Yes,
right. Yeah, just nod your head. Yeah, right. The problem is that faith is not a thinking life.
Yep, so true.
Faith is a speaking life.
Amen.
It's an answering life. It's a declaring life. A decreeing life. Faith doesn't work because you thunked it. No way, no how. Don't work. In fact, the devil is perfectly happy. His job has actually been completed. If he can get you to do nothing but think.
So true.
Because when you're thinking, you ain't talking.
That's right. Yep.
And a Christian that ain't talking is defeated. So he tries to get us in the ditch in either one of two areas. Either he gets us all in our head, or he pushes us to the point where we run at the mouth in the negative. If he can get us to one extreme or the other, he has thoroughly succeeded.
Yes, sir.
I'll give you an example. Did you know offense always starts in your head?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. True. Yep.
Always. Always. There is no exception. Always starts in your head. Because it don't matter what the other person did do, didn't do, would have done, could have done, should have done, ought have done. If you hadn't have thought about what they did do, could do, would do, could have done, ought have done, should have done, you wouldn't be offended about it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So in other words, at some point, you had a brilliant occurrence in your noodle.
Yes, sir.
And because you're stewing in your own juices, and you only know what you know, it was only brilliant to you.
Come on.
Yes, sir.
To all the rest of us, it was kind of smelly.
Yes, sir.
Or we don't care.
That's some good help. Some real good help.
My son tells me, you can't say you don't care. That's a bad word. You don't care. Because he doesn't get that it's a sentence, right? Because he wants you to care about some stuff. I don't care about his fit. Daddy, I'm sad that you won't make me a new thing. Well, I don't care that you're sad. I don't have time to do that right now. You can't say that. In other words, come down to my level and be offended like me.
Oh, preach it. Oh, come on.
If you come down to my level, you'll see why I'm mad. And then you'll cry and throw a fit like I cry and throw a fit. And then maybe you'll do something about it. And that's why Daddy says, I don't care. Because I ain't coming down there. Instead, you come up here. And when you come up here, you'll know what I know. You'll see what I see, and then you'll go, oh, wow, my little thing didn't matter. Just saying. Isn't it funny how we get started on some of these things so little? I mean, he's three. He's three. Who taught him how to be offended? I mean, seriously. I didn't see that. I didn't see any of that. Actually, I tell you what. My wife is probably one of the most skillful people I know at how to walk in love. She puts me to shame because I'm over there like, God loves the people, but I'm not sure I do. And she goes, well, if you love God, he made the people, so you have to love them. I'm going to go in the other room now. She's one of the most skillful people I know at walking in love. She helps me greatly. She helps me greatly. But see, we stew in our own juices. That's why Paul said, I insist that you no longer live in the futility. I love how he said it. He said, your thinking is futile and will get you nowhere. Thinking of this, pondering that, considering this other thing, and so on. Worry lies at the door of our mind like a stray cat. And I'll tell you what, fear sits outside your mind like a carjacker. He's got his hand behind his back, hiding that peace, just waiting for you to stop. That's fear. Don't you play with that junk. I'm serious. Don't you play with it. See, because we're thoughtful people. Sometimes we interpret fear as wisdom.
Come on.
Don't you put your junk food label
on
my good eats from God's table.
Come on, preach it.
Don't you do that. That's not the wisdom of God.
Yes, sir.
You're in fear. And it rules you. See, because you let your window down and that dude shoved his gun in your window. And now he's driving the car. And you weren't smart enough to get out.
Come on. That's real good.
And because you stewing in your own juices, you don't realize you ain't riding in an Uber. You sitting there thinking, man, this taxi driver, he ain't taking me anywhere I want to go.
Come on.
Just saying.
In 2 Corinthians 12:9, the Lord said, He said to me, My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness, so that Christ's power may come to rest on me. We get this idea. I tell you, we get ideas. Oh, we get ideas. Because we're thinkers. We just like to look at the countryside and ponder. It's all true. It is all true. Looking out at all that corn, you got nothing to do but ponder the meaning of life. I'm telling you. I'm telling you. You don't know. You don't know what got in you from all those generations before. You don't know. I tell you what, a good question to ask God is, hey, God, can you just show me what got in me from previous generations I don't know about? And when He shows you, you're going to be like, I don't want none of that.
Yep. Come on. So true.
You know, I love Dad Hagin. He talked about the vision where God reached down into His spirit and pulled out something that looked like an old boot. And He said, well, this is the theology from such and such. Reached down in the spirit, pulled out something else that looked like another piece of old junk. Well, this is what you got from such and such.
Oh, wow.
You know, if you're not careful, you got junk in your spirit. You didn't even know it.
Right.
Yep.
You are a walking junk heap sometimes. I am too.
Come on.
And until we stop and ask God, God, what junk do I got in here that I got to get out?
Come on.
I actually was around one of the most spiritual people I know. And they were talking about a particular subject, and all of a sudden they were getting heated. I mean, like heated. And I was like, ooh. That's kind of intense because you're usually real spiritual. And then suddenly they stop and they go, I didn't know I felt so strongly about that subject. And then they were like, I guess there's some things in there that I got to get out. One of the most spiritual people I know. And I'm going, God, what do I got in here that I got to get out?
Seriously.
I wasn't concerned about their issue. I was like, yeah, they got an issue. I got an issue. I need to figure out what I got an issue with. Just saying. We get this idea because we're human. And our thinking is limited that when God says my grace is sufficient, then He's going to give us just enough to make it through. You know, it's like we're driving home and the gas light's on. And somebody says, I'll buy you some gas. And we're like, okay, great. And we get into the gas station, we're like, they fill us up with an eighth of a tank. This is Iowa, people do that to you. Just saying.
It's true. It's true.
Because why? It's just enough to get you through. And the other part is, sometimes as Iowans, they want to fill the gas tank. But we're like, oh, no. It's okay. I got it. It's out of a good heart. It's complete stupidity, but it's out of a good heart. Really, it's out of a poverty mindset because we think, oh, if I did that for someone else, I would want them to stop at this dollar figure. So I have problems receiving somebody giving me more than that because if I gave more than that, it would be very uncomfortable on me. You know? It's kind of like the whole in a time of famine, the polite thing to do is decline food. You see what I'm saying? That's poverty. That's poverty. That's poverty. Recognize it. Anyway, we get this idea that God is like the person that's just going to fill us up with an eighth of a tank of gas so we can get home. And then we got to figure out the rest of it from there. Only that's not what God said when He said, my grace is sufficient.
Right.
When God said, my grace is sufficient, He didn't even mean fill up the gas tank. What He meant was He's going to have a tanker truck drive up beside your car while you're going 70 miles an hour down the interstate. And some crazy team driver dude is going to swing out the door with a gas nozzle. He's going to kick open your gas door, shove that thing in there, and fill you up while you're rolling down the road.
Hallelujah.
And then while you're shocked and amazed at all of this happening and thinking, I can't believe I'm doing this. And you look in the rearview mirror, for the next 25 miles behind you, there's nothing but tanker trucks.
Come on!
Come on!
And they are just waiting for you to run out of gas in your little Ford Pinto.
Come on!
When God said, my grace is sufficient, he ain't thinking like you think. You thinking, oh Lord Jesus, please be good to me and just get me home. And God's thinking, I'm going to get you home and I'm going to get you around the world because you got something to do for me. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9 in the Message. God said, I don't think the way you think. The way you work, dude, it ain't the way I work. I put the dude in there. Anyway. God decrees, for as the sky soars high above the earth, so the way I work surpasses the way you work, and the way I think is so far beyond the way you think. We're down here thinking we good Christians, being Iowan, stewing in our own juices, trying to figure it out. And God is up here going, take a step to the left. Take a step to the left. Take a step to the left. They went right. Take a step to the left. And we're down here going, I can't go left. I can't go left. There's a block. There's something blocking me over here. I can't go left. I can't go left. I can't go left. But God's up there looking down. He said, just take a step to the left and you'll be around it.
Come on.
That's good.
See? See, we get this idea that God's grace, it's sufficient enough for our task, maybe. Right? Maybe. It might get us over. But when God said, my grace is sufficient for you, what he meant is his grace is sufficient to his task.
Yes. Amen.
When the Lord Jesus said that to the Apostle Paul was at the height of persecution. The revelation that he was bringing forth in the earth was being opposed to such a degree. And the Apostle Paul, like us, had this human thinking. Lord, remove this from me. And he prayed it three times. Lord, help me get home. Help me get my little Pinto home.
Right.
And God said, Paul, I called you to witness in front of Caesar. In front of the judgment seat of the whole world. I called you to my task. Don't be asking that because my grace is sufficient to get you completely through it, all the way over it.
Come on.
It's like the cartoon, you know, Wile E. Coyote. He doesn't just go over the mountain, he goes through it. And then the roadrunner looks in the, you know, looks in the hole. See, God's not just wanting to get you over. He wants to propel you with such force that you go through. Oh man, I don't know why I was concerned. I didn't have enough material. This has just gone way too quick. God ain't on our level. Quit trying to bring him down here. That's what offense does. It brings God down here. God ain't down here. That's what fear does. It brings God down here. That's what unbelief does. It brings God down here. God, come down here and see what I see. God said, no. You come up here and see what I see. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. I got 7 minutes. Oh my gosh. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. in the Weymouth translation, just because I like it. For I am not ashamed of the good news. It is God's power which is at work for the salvation of every man who believes. The Jew first and then the Gentile. For in the good news, a righteousness which comes from God is being revealed that depends on faith and tends to produce faith, as the scripture has said it, the righteous shall live by faith. Sometimes, you know, we just, again, we think the power to produce salvation or the power to save us is like a little kid with a slingshot. You know what I mean? And he just barely missed the can. That's how we just barely missed hell and made heaven. But that ain't it. That ain't it. That word salvation is an all-inclusive word. It includes your whole life. Not only did you miss hell, which, by the way, if you want to know by how far you missed hell, hell is to the west, heaven is to the east. They don't meet. You didn't just barely miss like in a game of horseshoes. You had a near miss and then whoop, lucky bounce, plunk, and it hits the pin. Salvation ain't a game of horseshoes.
No, sir. Come on.
God annihilated any path to get there. And then he said, not only am I going to save you from eternal death, but I'm also going to redeem you from sickness and disease. And I'm also going to redeem you from poverty and lack. And I'm also going to redeem you, most importantly, from a meaningless life. See, we get wrong ideas. We get wrong ideas. They're religious ideas. They're religious ideas. The power that's in the righteousness of God in Christ, the power is in the righteousness of God in Christ, and it depends on faith. And it'll also produce more and greater faith. Now, God's grace is His power manifested. I'm drawing a connection in the 4 minutes I got left. God's grace is His power manifested. Now, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8, you can just write that down. You know that we are saved by grace through faith, not of ourselves, lest any person should boast, but it is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. Right? In other words, let me say it like this. Grace is the water, faith is the pipe.
Amen.
I don't care how much water you have, if you don't have a pipe putting it in the right place, it ain't going to get there. You have to have something that conducts it. And God said, my grace is sufficient to all the problem you got. In fact, God said, my grace is sufficient to all the problem I got. You know, God's got problems. It's you and me. We're His problems. Just saying. Because we don't work with Him all the time. God's grace is the power of God to salvation. That salvation comes by faith and produces faith. God's grace is through faith. Faith. Well, let's come to that. Come on. If God's grace is all I need and it comes through faith, then faith is the answer to receiving all that we need in every case.
Yep.
Faith is the pipe.
Yes.
Faith is the wire that conducts grace to us. And now I don't have any more time to get to the whole rest of this. That was introduction coming up, But the spirit of faith declares some things. You got to stop living. We got to stop living in the futility of our own thinking. Because it is futile. It won't get us anywhere. It's okay to be thoughtful people, because that means if we control ourselves, we will be thoughtful upon the Word.
Yes, sir.
Amen.
And we will make the Word our meditation.
Yes, amen.
Day and night, which is what we're supposed to do. If we do that, we'll have good success.
Yes, sir.
See, that's what I'm saying. Being in Iowa sets you up in a way that you don't even understand for success in God.
Come on.
But on the other hand, you got to be careful. And I'm saying that because I is Iowan. I grew up here. You got to be careful, because otherwise you sneak up on yourself driving in the car. What am I thinking about?
Come on. Preach it. Preach it.
And you'll find out. When you talk to Crazy Aunt Sally on the phone, what are you saying to Crazy Aunt Sally? See, because it's those unguarded moments that tell us what we really believe. That's where you find out if you're in faith or not. You know David. David, when he confronted Goliath, he was out of his head.
Yep. So true.
Which was exactly where he needed to be.
So true. Come on, preach it.
Because he said, and you have to think, he's at most, at the youngest, he's a teenager.
Yep.
At the oldest, mid-20s. So he's just getting started in life.
Yep.
In fact, he was probably more on the teenage side because he wasn't in the military yet. And just like today, they had laws on conscription. They couldn't bring people into the army if they're under a certain age.
Yep.
Because people have good sense, usually. Usually. And so, you know, so he wasn't in the military yet. And here's Goliath, who is this trained warrior. He's a giant in his time. A legendary warrior for that group of people. And you know what David said? He said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? That my father, God, defended me from the lion. And he helped me kill the bear.
Yep.
And that uncircumcised Philistine, he's going down.
Yep.
He was out of his head.
Yep.
He was running the word out of his mouth.
Yep.
I tell you what, it's okay to run at the mouth as long as you run the word.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen.
When you're, because that means that you've been thoughtful on the Word of God. There's enough of the Word in there that it's coming out. And you know what? Darn it. Mark 11:23. When you say something and you believe it, it happens.
Yes, sir. Amen.
That's true whether you're speaking a bunch of fear
so true.
Whether you're speaking faith.
Yes, sir. So true.
I didn't even get to tell you about having faith in God and who you're having faith in. But that's good. I tell the youth, I make no guarantees that I'm ever going to revisit this subject again. Because it's just what God has us minister on any given time, you know.
Amen.
So I don't guarantee that I'll ever finish the sermon. But really you should study. When Jesus said, have faith in God. The whole point that I'm trying to get to with all of this is that when he said, have faith in God, he wasn't just saying that idly. Go and study who God really is. When it says, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, my ways are higher than your ways, go study who he is and find out just how much higher they really are. Because when you know who your faith is in, what you're believing for becomes a certainty, not just a probability.
Amen.
So true.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.